everybody. What's going on? It's Friday night. Hey, you're wearing a hat.
Yeah, I got a hat on today. I'll wear it for a second.
I kind of feel bored. Zach says, "Welp, I got fired." Oh no, like already?
What did you get fired for?
How did that happen? Was it because you got sick and you called him?
Should have pulled that dick out on him.
Well.
Yeah. Walked up to the boss, pulled the dick out on him. Fucking boss.
And he's like, "What? I got fired?"
Got fired for that? Says, "Yeah." Yeah, you fucking assume orientation, you bitch. You're fired. That's what happened.
I'm sorry, Zach.
That's what happened. Now, what happened, Zach?
Yeah, that sucks. Danny Rowling asked for this button right here, so I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it real quick.
Where is that raccoon?
Yeah.
There it goes.
Yeah.
He also says that we need a man said I could button. And I was like, well, shit, man. I should have thought of that. I could probably make that. I wrote it down so I remember, because otherwise I will not remember. DJ Maniac
said... I don't think
said,
he actually comes out and says man said I could. Didn't we try to find that one time?
He doesn't says,
actually said that. He doesn't actually say that, I don't think.
He says, man said I don't have to listen to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know he says that. He says one other thing that's like a variation.
I think the mom said, and then he told me, because man said I could. I think the mom quoted him.
Maybe. Well,
I don't think he ever says that. He just says, man says I don't have to listen to you.
Yeah, I remember him saying, man said I don't have to listen to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember him saying that. And I remember that he said something else, too, like along those same lines that was shorter. But I don't think it was exactly word for word, man said I could.
Yeah.
But it was the same spirit, the same sentiment. Zach says, no, it was that 96% production rate Scientology type bullshit. Yeah, he was telling me about that with the picture. I apparently wasn't meeting the goal of, so needless to say, I'm angry and disappointed. Now I'm kind of curious as to whether that place was owned by Scientologists, because that sounds like some shit they would pull.
Yeah.
It's like you have to have, you can't make mistakes ever and like...
Yeah. You did not exhibit endless fucking boundless growth. So therefore,
yeah, that was like what, yeah, that was what really got me. Like when I worked there, I was like, so you guys apparently believe that you can just like keep increasing like
endless growth,
like infinitely.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, that's not how things work.
It's Scientology. Well, they were trying to take over the world.
Right. Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Danny Rowling said, doesn't he say man said I could when he pisses in the closet?
He does?
Maybe he does.
We gotta go back and look.
Now I'm gonna have to, like, rewatch it.
Because I think we tried to find that, where he comes out and actually says that, and I think we failed to find it.
I tell you what, if that was my kid, and he pulled that crap where he put the kitty, like, underneath the couch cushion and then sat on it, I would drop kick, I'd punt that little fucking kid right in front of a bus.
Well, we weren't there. We don't really know what happened.
And the dad was just like, why'd you try to hurt the kitty? I'd have been like, pow! Don't do that to the kitty. Yeah. God damn it.
What's up, Poke?
Because I like kitties a lot better than I like children, that's for sure.
You know what it is? No.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
You gotta turn the fan on. Let's see how upset she gets about it. I don't know. The fan didn't used to bother her. The fan didn't used to bother her, and like now
she sees it.
She's like weirded out by it. And the thing about it, too, is that after the show, like a lot of times I'll go over there and turn the fan off. And then she still sits there underneath and, like, stares at it like she's waiting for it to come back
she's
on or something.
She's looking at it.
She's like, weirded out. I don't know what it is. It didn't used to bother her. I don't know why she yells about it so much now.
She's fucking crazy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, Zach said, basically, it was a number of items scanned per hour and a minimum required for each hour, about 380-something. But when you're dealing with a real large order, that takes a couple hours to complete. Yeah, see, I hate that kind of shit. I hate that kind of, like, it's just too stressful. You know what I mean?
She's looking at it.
She's looking at the fan?
Yeah.
Let me see. Yeah, what's the fan? But now she's like, why are you guys looking at me? Yeah. What's the matter?
Fine. Well, it's Friday, and we decided we're going to stay in tonight.
I mean, we don't have to if you really want to go out, but I don't, you know, I wasn't really ready.
Yeah. Well, we could only go to Mannequins anyway.
Yeah. And I don't really have that much money. Yeah. I mean, and the thing about it is Memento Mori is next Friday.
Okay.
And we gotta missed the last one because they did a Halloween one and we couldn't go to that because we went to Mannequins.
All right, I guess we'll just stay in.
I mean, you know. But like I said, it's up to you. You sound kind of like bummed out about it. You sound kind of bummed out.
Sick of being in the house. But you might be right.
Well, I don't know. I mean, like I said, we can, but don't, you can't, like, after the show's over, though, you can't be, like, rushing me, like, out the door, because I'm gonna have to start over.
Right. It's early anyway.
You know what I mean?
It's early. We'll think about it. I'll think about it when time comes.
Richard Brown said cats over kids every time. Yeah, right? I mean, seriously. Damn kids. DJ Maynack said, I'm staying in tonight. Schedule's off because I've been on vacation all week, plus the move, so I'm going out tomorrow night. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's kind of better. Like, I kind of prefer to go out on Saturday nights just because, you know, I have more time get ready.
I like Fridays over there at Mannequins, and we mixed it last time because we couldn't even dance. It was so fucking crowded.
That's true.
Because I felt like I didn't even really get to go out. It was
crowded. It was fun because we got to see all the costumes and we got to talk to people and stuff like that. But yeah, it was so crowded in there that it's like you couldn't even like dance.
It wasn't
dance
like a night out. It was like more like a job.
Yeah, we were just kind of like, we stood out on the balcony. Yeah. Not the balcony, the patio.
Patio, right.
Like pretty much all night because it wasn't quite as crowded out there. But yeah, you could barely even get in the inside. Holy crap. And, you know, that's the thing. And, I mean, really, I couldn't have danced anyway because I was, like, paranoid that, like, shit was going to fall off my costume. Like, all my snakes were going to fall out my hair and all that kind of stuff. Like, I had comfortable shoes on. It wasn't that. But I just kind of felt like my headpiece was going to fall off.
If we go, we'll just go in comfortable goth. We're not going to do the fucking all fucking full dress. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just something we can put on in a fucking half hour.
Well, you know, I can't really do that, though, because usually I have to have, like, corset and shit
like that.
Yeah,
I understand
that.
You
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, because it doesn't look good otherwise. I don't really have anything that you can just, like, throw on, you know what I mean?
You used to.
Well, that was a long time ago, though. Okay. And I can't really, you know, I can't really afford to, like, buy new shit all the time. Zach said, I'm going to the gay bar tonight and getting very, very drunk. Well, you know, aim high. Well, because he got fired.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. Ian England said, my broke ass is staying in tonight, too. And then DJ Maniac said, club night is an unpaying job for some of us at times, Tom.
Yeah.
It is. Well, it's like, that's the thing. It's like, I like to go out. I'm not saying that. In fact, well, I mean, we used to go out, like, pretty much every night. I don't know. I don't even remember how we afforded that. But, yeah, how did we?
You could just wear that.
No, it's too plain. Mm. I don't really want to, like I said, if I'm only going to do, if I'm going,
you're
going to
get dressed up, all right?
Well, yeah, okay. I mean, that's the thing.
All right.
I can't just go looking all, like, dowdy. You know what I'm saying? All right. DJ Maniac said, I only do full dress for the big events. I try and stick to graphic tees and appropriate bottoms and boots. Yeah. I guess, but the thing is, it's like, it's easier for guys, though, because guys can just, like, put on, like, a kind of a cool pair of pants and some boots and a black t-shirt, and you look cool. Like, because, you know, dudes don't usually, like, wear, like, big, huge hair or, like, elaborate makeup or anything like that. So it's easier for them to just, like, go out looking kind of, you know, not have to do, like, a lot of effort. But Ben says, Tom would make a good Herman Munster. Oh, yeah.
No.
You might.
Fuck no, that dude's fucking huge.
Yeah, but you could
I'm
get
five,
like some...
I'm 5'6", man. Fucking Herman Munster. More like Grandpa Munster.
That would be funny, too, to be honest with you. let's see. DJ Maniac said, I own an all-white suit with blood spatter print all over it and matching platform shoes with goldfish in them. if you're not joking, then please send a picture of that outfit. I really got to see that. I really got to see that. Danny Rowling said, I really want to see Tom in all-white goth clothes. He used to you don't have any white pants, but you did have like a white, like a long jacket. That was pretty cool. I don't think it fits.
I had two or three white outfits.
I don't think it fits you anymore.
I had that white, kind of like a doctor's bondage fucking doctor smock thing. Remember that? Remember I had that?
Yeah, that's right.
Then I had the fucking white shirt with a white long vest coat. Remember I'd wear fucking black pants. I didn't have white boots though, just with black bottoms. I had that. Then I had that long white frock coat.
Yeah.
I had that too. I had some white outfits.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of white. I bought a white dress like kind of a white gothy, like Renaissance looking dress when I was doing Bride of Frankenstein last year or the year before. But I don't wear it all that much because I don't know. I don't think white looks good on me, to be honest. You know, I don't know what it is, but just any time that I've had the idea to wear something white, it's just like never. I don't know. I just feel like it doesn't look good. Zach says, what's a good outfit one could throw together if they don't have any goth type clothes? Like, if, what do you mean? If you're just like going out or something?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing
you
about
can't
it.
Throw together a goth outfit.
Not just, really.
That your ass.
But I mean, if you're going to go to the goth bar, at least, like, put some black jeans on. And, like, well, if you're a dude, like I said, it's if you're a
don't
dude, it's
bother.
Easier.
Don't
if
even
you're
bother.
A dude, it's easier.
Don't even bother. Don't bother.
Tom's like getting cranky.
No, don't bother. Because an entire goth outfit is built around boots and footwear. You could have a fucking cool goth shirt or something, right? But if you're wearing slacks and fucked up dress shoes
and Crocs,
fucking Crocs. Yeah. But if you have a fucking badass pair of like New Rocks that come up to your fucking knee almost, or even Demonia, you can wear that with anything, and that it ends up being a goth outfit.
Yeah, I really do feel like shoes are key.
Yeah, it's footwear.
Because you could get away with, like, even as a girl, you could get away with wearing some kind of more plain stuff, just like a regular black fishnet dress or something like that. If you had, like, these really elaborate boots, it would look, like, super put together.
I'm giving away fucking secrets, man. These motherfuckers. Y'all are going to have to pay me for this shit.
Don't
even bother trying to look goth unless you have fucking the right footwear. And it's, the standard is boots. Goth boots. And it has to be the right kind of fucking boot. It's real popular in your area. Although it usually tends to be like the entry level would be like a Demonius. That's the entry
level. And those aren't that expensive.
$120.
But I mean, that's not bad for like a pair of like, you know, knee-high boots with buckles and skulls and shit on them.
Best would be,
they don't they only last a couple of years, especially if you wear them out and dance in them. They'll start falling apart. But those are,
that's about the best you can get for a guy.
But those are the,
those are New Rocks.
Those are the gold standard.
That was about $350.
Yeah, they are considerably more expensive. Right, but he's had those for years and years and years.
And it's all real leather, and they're just Spanish made. And I got two pair of these. But the other one that have their shoes.
I've had some nice Demonias over the years. Yeah. Usually, like, you know, if they're shin high, they're usually about $90-ish, $80-$90. Yeah. And then the knee high ones are usually like $110, $120. And you can get like some real nice ones with real like cool buckles and shit like that. But like I said, if you wear them out like pretty much every week and dance in them and stuff, about 2 years later, like the heels are going to start falling off. So.
But I got these boots on, black motorcycle pants and a black t-shirt and just these right here, and I could go to a goth club like this and run it. Fucking run that shit, okay? And well, it's, you know, on the back, everybody knows who I am. And they know me and Jan, you know. And then boots make the fucking outfit. It's all built around footwear, especially for dudes. Dudes,
because dudes, I mean, depending on what your look is, but I kind of feel like dudes are usually like more low key. They don't do stuff quite as elaborate. Like I said, depending on what your deal is, because we do know some dudes that like super go all out. But, you know, mostly they're just kind of going to be like, have some pants like you got, and maybe like a t-shirt or just like a top or something. They're not going to have like super elaborate hair or super elaborate makeup or something like that.
You could get these boots, a fucking kilt, and a black t-shirt and a fucking pipe, and walk in there, and fucking, you'd be goth.
That sounds like the exact outfit that I've seen a couple of people wearing in there.
Yeah, you'd be goth.
We have a couple,
you'd get 50, 60, like, dressed like that, with a fucking pipe, and
there's
a fucking
skill. There's one guy in particular that, well, no, two guys. Yeah. There's two guys in particular. They're older dudes.
Yeah.
But distinguished-looking older dudes that, you know, they're real into the kilt game. But the kilts look good on them, I think.
Yeah, there is a kilt game.
Yeah.
You have to play the kilt game. There's a certain kind of dude that can play the kilt game.
DJ Maniac said, I have like 5 kilts.
Yeah.
And he also said, incorrect, I have 5 pairs of Demonias I rotate between, and they're all still in great shape. Maybe it was just the ones that I had, or maybe I'm just harder on them.
We were dancing in them a lot, and we were wearing the same ones a lot.
Yeah, because really, I would only have like one cool pair of them at a time. So I tended to wear them all the time. So yeah, after like a couple of years, like shit would start falling off of there.
You'd have demonious shoes, but you wore those not in the club. You wore those outside the club.
Uh-huh.
But no, I think they were 605s, demonious 605s, I think is what they were called. They were the ones with just straps and buckles going down the sides. It's just kind of a fucking flat platform on the bottom. Lightweight foam kind of platform. They would, mine would hold together. It's just that they were patent leather, so the shit start flaking off on the inside.
Yeah, that too.
And there was a zipper down the middle. The zippers held, though. Jenny would tear shit up, though. But I was just dancing in them.
Eventually, I'm rough on shoes.
Yeah, eventually the fucking the platform would fall off the bottom. Like the glue would give out.
And those really nice like oxblood ones that I had, remember those platform ones with all the buckles and stuff? Those, I think the heels stayed, one of the heels came off, but then like the other one, the back of it, like where the heel is like busted out, like the stitching all came out.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, they were like my size, or actually they were a size bigger, because I tend to get, I wear a 7, but I tend to get 8s when I buy boots that go all up just because I have big calves. So I usually get like a bigger size, so they won't be super tight.
You had big calves.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
No, but I still like
some
room in that shit. You know what I'm saying? Still like some room in that shit. Let's see. Zach says, okay, what should you wear if you overheat easily? Just probably like, I don't know, just like a fishnet shirt probably. Fishnet shirt and some pants.
Yeah, but that would only work with fucking goth clothes, and you'd have to have the fucking boots for that.
Yeah, that's true.
Just do yourself a favor, man. Fucking go out and fucking buy yourself some goth boots, some demonias. And then you can make a goth outfit based on that. $110, you can get yourself into some goth boots, which will open up, they have unlock the goth fucking potential. Then you start saying, well, what could I throw together? Fucking, it'd just be like some black jeans or some PVC jeans and fucking something like that. You know, you could get fucking off of Amazon or...
Or even like some black leggings that are like maybe velvet or something.
Most of my stuff is motorcycle oriented because I ride bikes. So I go for things that I have dual purpose. I could wear it to the club or I could fucking ride on a motorcycle with it. And they got a lot of like $60... Between the $40 to $60 fucking motorcycle pants stuff. And if you get the, if you know, you know your right size, they're tight enough. Because you don't want baggy fucking pants in a goth club. You want, they have to be tight. Or fairly tight. But you can't be so tight that they'd fucking split on a motorcycle. But so you can find stuff that's kind of dual purpose. And then just black t-shirts of different types. Black muscle shirts, black t-shirts, black compression fucking tees, whatever. Anything like that, that'd work.
Yeah, a lot of guys generally just wear like black band t-shirts usually.
Yeah, band t-shirts. And then everything after that is accessories. Bracelets, necklaces, if your ears are pierced, different kinds of earrings, fucking...
Nose rings.
Yeah, hats, different kind of hats. You, I always like kind of like the industrial kind of paramilitary kind of looking stuff. If you want to go the leather daddy route, you can go that way too. You know, they'll have straight guys that'll wear stuff like that in the goth scene. So it's not really a gay thing.
Like I said,
everything's kind of unisex. They don't worry about that. You know what I mean? Fucking me and my fucking leather daddy buddy fucking kind of copy each other some of the shit that we do. You know what I mean? It doesn't have anything to do with being gay.
Well, I think that was one of the...
what looks good.
One of the things that always kind of, like, attracted me to the goth scene, even back in the 80s, was that no one really gave a shit. Like, you didn't know, like...
No.
I mean, I have knew people for years and years, like, before I knew they were gay. Mm-hmm. You didn't assume anything. You didn't think about it. You were just like, whatever. They were just like, that was another goth person.
A lot of these fucking young people today are wearing that shit on their sleeves like that's the center of their identity. We never did that. Nobody gave a shit who you were fucking. Nobody really cared. It was just how cool you were. That was the only thing that really mattered.
I mean, unless you were fucking the other person's boyfriend or girlfriend, then they would care.
Yeah, then they would care.
But other than that, they don't care.
As long as you weren't fucking somebody without permission that you cared about.
DJ Maniac said, depending on whether I'm at an industrial-themed or goth-themed event, I even change up my eyeshadow. Black for goth, dark gray for industrial. Okay, yeah. I respect that. I respect that game. And that's the thing. I do kind of try. I don't know. I feel like, because mannequins, for example, they don't do a theme every week, but they do a lot of themes. And, like, not a lot of people participate, but sometimes if I remember, like, I'll do something more along those lines. But not usually, like, usually. Because I really just have kind of, like, a handful of outfits that I like.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that, like, in, if you're kind of going kind of full dress, guys are going to be wearing eyeliner.
Or a guy liner, as they call it. Yeah. I mean, it's eyeliner.
That came. That's also was in the metal scene too. You know, Ozzy Osbourne fucking wore. You know, all those guys, they wore eyeliner when they went out. It looks good.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I think I wish more guys would wear eyeliner, and I wish more guys would paint their nails. Yeah. I see now that I see now more guys painting their nails, and I like that. And I kind of wish that they would do, like, if you'd done that back in the 80s, everyone would have just, never would have heard the end of it. But, like, nowadays you see it and it's not really as big a deal. And I kind of like that because, I don't know, it looks cool. It's not...
Black fingernails.
Like I said, painting your nails or wearing eyeliner, that's not specifically, like...
I haven't done that in a long time. I need to start doing that.
That's not, like, specifically a woman thing. Yeah. I don't know why people think that. It's like, that always seemed really dumb to me.
I haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah, you still look really good, like, with the eyeliner and shit like that. Yeah. I know it's, like, a pain in the ass, and, like, you don't really want to do it most of the time.
And I mostly was into liquid, and we don't have any liquid. I gotta get some liquid.
I do. I have... Shit, man. What do you think? I have an Amazon subscription.
That's right.
Every couple weeks, I get the big, fat, liquid eyeliner. It's a marker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I have a thin one, and I have, like, a whole bunch of fat ones.
I like the liquid markers, the fucking little sharp. Remember the sharp applicator on the end?
Those? Like I said, the ones I have, like, they're just right in there in the bathroom. Like, I have a bunch. Yep. They look like a marker. It's, like, looks like... it's thinner than that. Yeah, well, it's kind of like that.
Yeah, I could use
the
that.
End of it's kind of like
I'd
that.
I'd go full Anton LaVey.
Yeah, do it.
Because old Anton was wearing that shit, too.
Because, like I said, it looks good. It makes your eyes look bigger. It makes, like, your eyes stand out, like, from your face.
Well, my eyes are never big. I got what they call hunter eyes.
No.
They got hunter eyes and prey eyes. Prey eyes are round. Hunter eyes are the little fucking almond-shaped squinty eyes. I got squinty eyes.
I don't know what kind of eyes I have.
That's why you love me.
Is it?
Fucking right, because I had those eyes. I had those fucking
eyes. No, you know
what
it was? It wasn't anything to do with your eyes. Do you know what one of the things that I really used to like about... I mean, other than, like, you dress cool and, like, you could dance and everything like that, which, like I said, a lot of straight guys can't dance, so that's, like, a big plus.
Yeah.
I like the way you smelled.
Yeah. It was an obsession.
Yeah, but if somebody else was wearing Obsession, it might not work the same, but just, like, with your body chemistry or whatever, I just really... That was, like, a really appealing smell. You know what I mean?
I wore Obsession. I still wear it. She gives it to me.
Yeah, like whenever you're out.
She keeps me stocked up on it.
I keep you stocked up because I like the smell.
Yeah.
Well, I like the smell of it on you.
Yeah, Obsession for men.
Yeah.
Zach knows all about having Obsessions for men. It kind of has a kind of a spicy vanilla kind of a smell to it.
It smells good.
And if you use it regularly, it fucking permeates pretty much all your clothes.
All your clothes.
So you kind of always smell like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you could even, you know, back when we first started going out, like, in your closet, like, all your clothes smelled like that, too, and I was like, ooh, like, it smelled really good.
The other one I like is Fahrenheit. I used to wear that one.
I don't remember what that one smells like.
Toby wears Fahrenheit.
Oh, okay.
Toby wears Fahrenheit.
All right, so
Toby's
I'm remembering.
Toby's my little daddy boy.
I'm kind of remembering, he always smells good.
He wears
good.
Fahrenheit.
He always smells good.
Yeah.
I just didn't know it. I think I asked him one time what that was,
It's kind of reminiscent of Obsession.
Yeah.
They kind of go together pretty well. I've worn both. They're both good, but I haven't worn Fahrenheit in a fucking long, long time. He still wears that. Those were '90s fragrances.
Yeah,
but they got it right. They smell fucking really good.
I mean, there might be different ones nowadays that like are good, but I don't know. There's actually a thing. What? What's the matter?
She's looking at that thing. What you mean?
She's like, why is the fan on?
Yeah,
I don't like
it. It's been on.
She's like, yeah, but I'm just now getting upset about it.
Yeah. A lot of the 90s fragrances for men smelled masculine, but they didn't stick.
Yeah.
They weren't too... Some of that shit had too much musk in it.
I kind of like a little bit... I like a musky kind of...
Yeah, but you don't want too much of that.
Well,
shit.
No.
Like, remember how karate was from the 60s? Karate in 60s. You remember karate?
I do remember it, yeah. But I don't remember what it smells like. I can't recall it. I remember it was a big thing. I remember it was a big thing. I tend to have... I don't know a lot about different perfumes and scents and things like that. Like, I get every now and then, because I have that that little, like, sample cosmetic subscription service, Ipsy. And so they send you, like, 5 or 6 different, like, little samples of things, like, every month. And sometimes they send fragrances. And a couple of those I've really, really liked. Do you think I can remember the name of them? Of course not. So I could buy a bigger one. But honestly, like, the only scent that I really, really liked, because I felt like a lot of the women's perfumes, even though, like I said, they're that's dumb. It's like, again, it's a smell. It should just kind of be a unisex, I kind of feel like. But I don't know. I kind of feel like ones that were marketed toward women were, like, too flowery. I don't really like super flowery ones. Unless it's, like, an orange blossom kind of smell, I do like that. But I tend to like ones that are not necessarily spicy, but I do like kind of like muskier ones, or vanilla or wood or something like that. I tend to like stuff like that.
Media Exit Tom, just wear Sex Panther to the club. It smells like Bigfoot's dick. It's fucking funny. Damn. Somebody had asked if I had seen Barbarian. No, I didn't see it.
No, I watched it. I thought it was great.
Was it good?
I thought it was great.
I have to see it.
I don't... You would probably like it.
Yeah.
I liked it because, and like I said, and every single person that has reviewed it says this. It's like, it's better if you don't know anything about what it's about.
Don't tell me anything about it.
Like, before you see it. Because you will have no idea where the fuck it's going.
Don't tell me anything about it.
And it's, like, super entertaining to, like, watch where the fuck it's going.
Don't tell me anything about it. I want
to
know.
Hello, Dave. What's going on? Hello to you both. All here. Just going. Are you going to Mannequins later? We might.
We might go.
We might. We're thinking about it. Zach said, "Did you say you wear cologne, Jenny?" Sometimes I do. Like, if I'm going out, I'll usually do it. Like, for a long time when I was younger, I don't even know if they make this anymore, but my very favorite scent was called Design. I don't even remember
who
makes it. She's just tearing books out.
Yeah.
I just really, really liked that smell. Yeah. But I like I said, I kind of like more earthy scents or, like, musky scents. I do like real sweet stuff, like, if it's sweet, like vanilla cookie and stuff. I like that kind of smells, too.
For me, it has to be a mixture. It has to be a mixture of stuff. I kind of like some musk, but it has to be offset with something kind of herbal or something kind of sweet. I really liked... A lot of people don't like patchouli. I like patchouli.
I do, too.
I like patchouli.
I know. It got unfairly associated with hippies.
Yeah. I liked frankincense and myrrh smell.
I like that, too.
I liked anything that smells kind of like vanilla.
Yeah.
I like that. Especially if it's kind of offset with something else. There was one called White Musk. It was for women.
I remember that.
It's kind of neutral. I like that one. No, Pope. Leave it alone. Stop tearing up books. She's like, looking at me like, I can do it, though. Man said I could. Man said you could. No. Come on.
I'm going to make her a little bitty t-shirt that says, man said I could.
Yeah. And she's coming over here. That's okay?
She's like, Daddy yelled at me.
That's okay? Yeah,
don't
yeah,
yell okay. at her.
Stretch out. Relax.
I try to tell Daddy not to yell at her because
she doesn't know. It doesn't matter because she's never really been...
She doesn't
She's never
know.
Been hit or anything like that. Fucking, I smacked her on the ass one time and she looked at me like, what was that? She didn't even understand it was punishment. Was like, what was that?
Yeah, because, I mean, we've had her since she was a baby.
We hand-raised that kitten in the same bed with us.
Yeah.
She was that big.
Her eyes were still blue when we got her. I think she was only 4, 5 or 6 weeks
old. She was the size of a small squirrel.
Yeah.
Sleeping in the bed with us. Yeah.
But she's like,
who are these people?
Yeah, but she took to us immediately, which I thought was, like, really cool. Because, like I said, and I think we've said this before, but in case you guys weren't here one time, she was basically a friend of the family, apparently. I don't really know what the real story is. But apparently this woman found Pookie in her backyard, and, like, her dog was menacing the poor little baby. And I guess baby Pookie was, I guess her mom abandoned her. So she was just left in this woman's backyard. That's the story that we got anyway.
I think the litter was just broken up.
Maybe. That's just the story. Maybe it would like to make her seem like more pitiful. So he would, but as soon as she sent us a picture, I was like, oh, we're taking this little, because her little gray face. And like I said, she had blue eyes back then, because all kittens do, like up to a certain age. And so we brought her home. And she was in her little carrier, and she came out, and she was kind of like, what? I mean, she was so, so small with that tiny little tail and everything. And she comes out with her little butt wiggling. And then Beijing, of course, comes in and goes, like, I don't like this. And then Pookie, like, came over and, like, got in my lap and was like, is everything okay? And I'm just like, yeah, it's cool. We didn't know what her name was at that point. It took us a long time to name her, actually. Pookie isn't even really her real name. That was just, like, a nickname that we started calling her. And then, like, that just became her name.
That became
like,
her name one more time.
Because I was like, she just seems like a Pookie to me.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, and I named her, actually, that I was thinking of Garfield's teddy bear, like, from the strip.
Her name was Pookie.
Because she kind of looks like a teddy bear.
And the name that they gave us under was some kind of African name that we forgot immediately.
I don't even remember what they had named her. It didn't suit her.
No. It was a boy's name. They thought it was a boy.
They thought the kitten was a boy.
Yeah.
Even though we only had her for a day or two, and Tom was like, that's a girl. Mm-hmm. Even though she was little. And it's hard to tell, like, when they're that small. But,
by her personality that was a girl.
Yeah. But then the thing is, it's like the very, like, I think the day after we got her, she jumped up on the bed and, like, kind of looked at us like that.
Yeah.
And we just, like, looked at her and, like, looked at each other and looked at the cat.
Yeah, we did a thing where she looked at us and we looked at each other, and then she looked at both of us like we're all looking around like, who is this? And she was like, okay, they're okay.
You guys are mommy and daddy? All right.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
And that was, like, the morning after we got her, and we're like, okay. And she just, like, slept in the bed.
She was, like, this big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's funny. She's hilarious. Yeah, Grantham said, whenever I smell patchouli, I think of a dirty hippie chick trying to cover up her UTI. Yeah, I kind of feel like that's, it gets unfairly, because I actually really like that smell. Now, we have a friend, now every time I smell patchouli, you know who I think of.
I don't know. But, I associate it with, like, hot goth chicks in Detroit, late 80s, and then early 90s, fucking later on, you know, or mid-90s when I got out of the Army. There were a lot of goth girls that wore that.
I think of our veterinarian friend.
Oh, him. Yeah.
The nipple grabber.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got to.
You know, because he always wears patchouli, but it always, like, smells really good, I think.
Yeah, that was a popular goth fragrance.
It was,
So was frankincense and myrrh and dragon's blood and shit. Like, they had different
names. Dragon's blood. That's another one I like. I used to buy the that essential oil from the witchcraft store all the time.
Yeah, they'd wear anything that got out of them damn witchcraft shops. They'd wear that.
Because their whole shop smelled like that. And I was like, oh my God, that smells amazing. Yeah. I even had, like, the little purple cones of incense that smelled like that. So I could make my whole room smell like that, like when I was a teenager.
80s and 90s goth girls fucking kind of had it down. They were kind of cornered in the market on that. It was part Wicca, part BDSM, part punk rock.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of Lady Death references and all kinds of shit, you know, fucking Susie and the Banshees, like Susie fucking fashion cues. And you still start, it's coming back, you know, a lot of these young girls wearing death rock. In goth rock and death rock fashion, now they're bringing it back. It was
that
cool.
That makes me very happy.
Yeah.
That makes me very happy.
I'll show you guys an example of what I'm talking about.
Zach says, I'm also someone who likes the smell of gasoline and burning fall leaves. I bet that can make an interesting cologne smell. I don't so much love the smell of gasoline, but I really do love the smell of burning fall leaves. And I really do love the smell of, like, burning matches. I like that kind of, like, sulfur smell. There's got to be some kind of, like, cologne that has a smell like that. I read a couple of books one time about mixing colognes, and there's all kind of stuff in there that you wouldn't, like, think would be in a cologne. Like molecule, like poop molecules and stuff. Because it gives it, you know, like an earthy kind of smell to it. You know what I mean? Some of the shit comes from, like, really gross sources, is all I'm gonna say.
I always show this girl because she really kind of has it down. She goes under the name on Instagram is Clumsy Succubus, but that's, like, very much 90s. That looks like, was it Lady Death, or no, what was the name of that character? She was a comic book character. She had that same look.
Yeah. You
remember what that, I think it was Lady Death, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. That was that, wasn't it Neil Gaiman?
Neil Gaiman, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that would be like a very basic kind of look. She rocks that kind of stuff. That's going back to the 90s. Show you some classic. That's 80s as shit.
But yeah, DJ Maniac said the death rock scene is undead and well here in New York City, and they're all at least 20 years younger than me, which is great. Yeah, I remember because I was at the Drop Dead Festival in New York City back in whenever they had it there. Like, I went there like 2 years in a row. Might have been like 2009, 2010, something like that. And yeah, it was like really cool to see that. So I kind of feel like there was like a death rock revival like in the late 2000s. And you're kind of seeing it again now. I don't know so much with the music, but with the look for sure.
Yeah, I don't know what they listen to. They must be listening to death rock type music.
Maybe. I'm not real sure. Because, you know, like I said, it's just the look that I see a lot nowadays. Yeah. Like, we even see like some kids, like 20-ish year olds, at Memento Mori and stuff like that, that are rocking like the death rock.
Well, I know she listens to Sisters of Mercy because she has a First and Last and Always tattoo on her arm.
Oh, okay.
But here, right here, I always like to show this picture of her. This is just full fucking drag. That's a fantastic look right there. What year would you put that in? 91, 89?
Yeah, probably.
Around that time. Yeah.
Grampus said everyone smells like marijuana in Michigan now that it's legal. See, and like marijuana doesn't smell good. Unfortunately. Man, we were at the Halloween party and well, the thing about it is that mannequins, like it has this enclosed patio. Like it's
still talk too much about it.
I'm just saying, but it's like, you know, every now and then somebody'd walk by and be like, woo. Yeah. Weed. All right.
Yeah, weed technically is illegal here in Florida.
Still.
But there isn't a big penalty for it. And they don't seem to be enforcing anything. They don't care.
Zach says, I love the smell of pot. It always makes me hungry. I don't like the smell.
I hate weed.
I'm not a big fan of it. Like, maybe it's just because I've never had any of the good shit. That's what everybody says. But
yeah, it's not any good.
It's not really my thing, man.
It can't compare to LSD. It's nowhere near as driving as cocaine. It doesn't knock you out as hard as, say, morphine. It's just, it's a middle-of-the-road kind of a bullshit drug. It's always kind of made me feel like, you feel kind of unsettled sometimes, you know what I mean? It's like you think people might be watching you, you get a little slightly paranoid. It's nowhere near as good as alcohol. I think alcohol is a lot better.
Well, alcohol is a lot more fun. Yeah. I didn't really have much fun when I did weed.
Yeah.
When I smoked weed.
I smoked a lot of weed, and it's not that good.
Like I said, it just made me even more, like, anxious and, like, feeling like everyone was looking at me. Yeah. I'm like, I don't need that. Yeah. I already feel like that. I don't need, like, something that amps that up.
You can smoke a lot of it to where you can almost hallucinate, but it's nowhere near as good as LSD.
Jeffy Art said, the image of Pookie and Tom interacting reminds me of the cartoon dog Mark Antony and his kitten Pussyfoot. Yeah, I mean, she's a daddy's girl, for real. I mean, she loves mommy, too. I'm not saying that. I think she loves us both equally. She loves us for different reasons. She loves daddy because he wrestles with her, and she likes to wrestle. She's a tomboy.
David's complimenting you.
Where?
Down there.
I'm, like, way up back here. Dave said, it doesn't compare to how Jen dresses. She has got the goth look down. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yeah, she does. But the thing is that Jen's goth is contemporary. That one chick's goth is retro. Yeah. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I kind of like, I prefer the retro look, honestly. Yeah. You know, but like I said.
It's just funny to see retro on a 20-something.
But it makes me happy, though.
Yeah,
it makes me happy.
Yeah.
That I can see that. Like I said, if they're listening to cool fucking music, then that's fucking awesome.
She's definitely a fan of old sisters.
Yeah, see, that's good. In a way, it's almost kind of like, I think we got into this when we were talking about, you know, our friend Nick, who was like 21. And he's super into, like, old G loves Christian Death and 45 Grave. He loves all that kind of stuff, Joy Division. And I'm almost kind of, like, jealous because it's, like, he gets to experience it, like, for the first time. You know what I mean? Because for us, it's, like, I still love all that stuff. But it's, like, you know, it's been around for, like, 40 years or whatever.
Hold on. No, she has a YouTube channel, and she sings classic goth music. She was singing Cure, Kyoto song.
Yeah.
So, no, she listens to the same music with us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's good. It makes me feel not so old now. Yeah. What's that? Makes me feel not so old.
Yeah.
Bob Apple said, I really enjoyed Cabinet of Curiosities on Netflix, a mashup of Creepshow and Lovecraftian, good horror anthology. I'm actually, like, in the middle of watching that. I think I've watched the first 5 or 6 episodes, and I'm probably going to do, like, on my other channel, which is called Scare Salon, I'm going to do, like, a video about it when I finish watching it. Oh, and by the way, if anybody watches my Scare Salon channel, I'm working on a video where I'm reviewing all the VHS movies, like all 5 of them. And it's gonna go up tomorrow, I hope, but I'm kind of behind on it. Like, I watched the first 3 movies and, like, wrote reviews of those, and then I'm almost done with the 4th one. And then, like, tomorrow morning, I have to get up and watch the 5th one, which I haven't seen yet, and write a thing and then, like, record the video. But it should be up tomorrow. It just might not be as early as I usually put videos up on Saturday. That's all I'm saying, because I'm still working on it. I thought I would have more time to watch 5 movies, but, you know, I didn't. I'm almost done with 4, though. But, I mean, VHS 94, I've already seen it, so it's not that, you know, difficult. But I'm almost done with that, and then tomorrow morning I have to get up and watch VHS 99, which I haven't seen yet. Dave says, gotta go. Hope to see you guys tonight. All right, see you later. Hopefully, yeah, we'll go out. We probably will. I mean, now that you're talking about it, I'm like, yeah, maybe. That'd probably be fun. Like I said, I did like going out on Halloween, but, yeah, we couldn't really. And it was kind of sucky because, like, when we first got down there, we thought at first we were going to have to come back home because we couldn't find any fucking place to park. So we were kind of in a bad mood because we were, like, driving around and we couldn't find any place to park because there was a zillion fucking people. But, you know. Danny Rowling said, did you ever see the film Cabin in the Woods? And if so, did you like it? I saw it. I really liked it. I don't think Tom has seen it,
though. Here's some cool pictures of Jen.
Yeah, that's old.
10 years. Hold on.
Yeah, our friend Tony took those.
Yeah.
I still have that headpiece, actually. Although it looks a little bit more raggedy than that nowadays.
Yeah. Do you still have that top?
No, but I have one like that.
Yeah, we need to get you some more of those.
I have one that's like that, but it's not the exact same one. Like, the one that I have now has, like, buckles on the bottom.
Now, those shoes are demonia.
Yeah, those shoes have fallen apart.
Yeah, they're gone now.
Like, they were cool. I had them a long time. Actually, we got those secondhand, and I had them a while, but then, like, the heels started falling off all the time.
This is classic gym.
Ooh, you fucked up the lighting.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, actually, it's going to go back to that anyway, because I'm trying to. That was a great outfit.
Also, those might have been those boots.
Yeah, those are those ones. They're gone now.
Yeah. Well, the back busted out. Like,
yeah. Is this thing going to. Come on. There we go.
Yeah, like I said, our friend Tony took that.
Yeah. Although we produced them. He just took the pictures.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's driving me nuts. Come on. It's too bright. Stop it.
Oh, I always liked this picture. Now you just reset it. I always liked this one.
Yeah, that came out good, actually.
Yeah.
That came out good. Oh, shit!
Okay.
You spilled it right on the fucking. Right on the books and right on the.
She tore that book up, though.
Right on the,
all right.
Plug.
Don't hurt it. Not much fell out. It was almost empty anyway. This was another cute one.
I've always been paranoid about that table. I knew that was going to happen.
Almost looks like a Betty Page photo shoot. Okay. I'm already already getting a response. Says, she's gorgeous. Good for you, brother.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mrs. Evans' arty party said, God damn, that's driving me crazy. Ooh, Jenny, loved your reviews of Ricky Tikki Tavi and Watcher in the Woods. Yeah, I remembered everybody wanted me to do more, like, kid stuff, and I wanted to do that as well. I will definitely be doing Return to Oz at some point, because I haven't seen that in a million years, and that's one that usually comes up a lot. Sorry I'm doing this, but it's super bright and it's driving me crazy. There we go. That fixed it. Danny Rowling says, VHS 2, the zombie Baphomet and alien stories are the best and terrifying, kinda. Yeah, I mean, the second one was good. I still think the first one's the best. I haven't seen 99 yet, though. The third one, which I watched earlier, I really did not like. But I think a lot of people don't like the third one, VHS Viral. But, you know, I'll record that.
Saxon, how do you walk around in those boots? Look, man, if you got to answer that question, then you can't.
Those are not uncomfortable.
Those are easy to fucking walk.
Those are actually, like, pretty comfortable, honestly.
Yeah, Jen, look, nothing really spilled out of that.
Well, other than that, but, yeah.
That's not even a quarter of a cup.
Hugo said, Jenny, you should post the episodes of your new channels on Facebook also. I do usually. Like, I usually cross-post them to several of my different, like, I'll post them on my personal page, I post them on Scare Salon, I post them on my author page, I usually post them on the 13 o'clock page, too. Praise Ratma, yeah. That's what I was just watching that, like, earlier, like, about an hour ago, like, before we started the show. So, you know.
Are those buns called Princess Leia's?
They could be.
They're actually little Chinese things, if I remember correctly, weren't they?
What are you talking about?
The little fucking parts of that headdress that had those fucking buns things.
I bought them at the Black Girl Hair Store.
Yeah, but weren't they kind of just like some kind of a Chinese... I thought it was like a Chinese little round puffball that had hair braided around it, wasn't it? I forgot what they looked like.
No, it's just a bun. It was just... What? Okay. It was basically just something to, like, pull your own hair back if you didn't have that much hair and, like, put it in a thing and then slap the bun on top of it. I just had two of those, and I hot glued them to a headband.
A headband, that's right.
And then, like, I had some other kind of, like, hair that I just, like, bought separate, and, like, I braided it and stuff like that.
A lot of that super impressive goth hair that you see those girls have, a lot of that's extensions and hair pieces and things that clip in. It's not all hair. And
yeah,
it never was.
The real elaborate shit.
Yeah, it never was.
You know,
wigs with fucking things attached inside the wigs, and some of it's hair, but some of it isn't. Some of it's her hair, and some of it isn't.
Yeah, I mean that particular thing there. Some of that's my actual, like, the bangs and stuff, because this is my actual hair. I don't have anything in here right now, so this is my actual hair. But that picture, like, the bangs were my hair, and, like, the back part was my hair. But the buns and the stripes right here, like, with the white, that was fake.
Yeah, and that was on a headband.
Yeah, I just hot glued everything to, like, a headband, so you just, like, put it on. So it looks like hair, but...
And I think there might have been a wig in there, too, though, wasn't there?
No.
It wasn't? Okay.
No. It was just, like I said, there was
a headband with hair attached to it.
Yeah, that's all. And, you know, they're kind of easy to make if you have the time. But, you know, I don't have a lot of time, so. I think I still have somewhere around here, like, big packs of different colors of hair. But I just don't have time to, like, fucking, you know, make all that stuff. Mark says, which one had the insane cult story in it? That was in the second one. That was in the second one.
What?
And that was like,
What?
What's the matter? What?
She wants attention.
What's the matter, baby?
Yeah.
She's like, I'm going to tear some shit up right now. Yeah. That was the same director, like, that Indonesian guy that did the one from VHS 94, like, the super bloodbathy one. You know what I mean? They were, like, kind of similar. I don't know. I tend to, like I said, and I'll probably get into this, like, on my video whenever it goes up. It's probably going to go up tomorrow sometime, hopefully. But, you know, I got a little bit behind because I was like... Of course, I thought that I could watch and review like 5 movies like before the weekend. And I was like, what the fuck was I thinking? So it's like all day, like I watched one yesterday and then, you know, wrote a thing for that. And then I watched like 3. Yeah, I watched part 2, part 3, and most of part 4, like today, and like wrote, and in between, like I wrote about them. But I still have to watch the 5th one. So I don't know, like, when, and then I have to record the video and edit it and then get it put up. So I don't know what time it'll be, but it'll hopefully be tomorrow sometime. I'll get up early, unless we go out and we're out until 4 o'clock in the morning, in which case, you know, it might be a little bit later than usual, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm just like, I feel bad because I get in a routine of like putting videos up at like particular times, like on every day. But then I think to myself, well, it's like, well, I don't have to like put it up at that time. It's like, as long as I get it up on that day, then that's fine. I don't have to like put it up at a particular time. So it's just me like imposing on myself. Ben says, someone was telling me last night about a friend who buys eyelashes, not sure if real or plastic, in Vietnam for a couple cents each and sells them for $10 to beauticians. And makes $100K a year. I mean, probably. Although the thing about, I don't know, like, you can buy, like, pretty cheap fucking, fake eyelashes, but I guess, like, for the really good shit, where you have to go in there and get somebody to, like, put them in, like, one hair at a time or one little fucking thing at a time. I just can't, I admire, like, girls that can wear fake eyelashes, like, every single day, because I don't know what it is, but it's like, I'll wear them when I go out sometimes, but a lot of times I'm just like, I can't get them to fucking stick, and I don't know, like, what the secret is. So a lot of times, like, I'm sitting there, like, trying to fucking stick it on there and, like, sticking more glue in there, and then, like, glue's going in my eye, and then, like, it sticks in my finger, and it, like, comes off, and it's a shit show. It's a shit show. Like, sometimes it comes out okay, but same thing happens when I'm putting, like, fake nails on. Like, I'll try to put, I have ones on right now, but a lot of times I go put them on and I'm like, oh shit, I stuck my fingers together or something. You know what I mean? You know what I did earlier is that one of these nails came off, and so I was like gluing it back on, and then before the glue was dry, I didn't realize, but I was typing and I got glue evidently on my A key on my keyboard, so now my A key is stuck. So now when I type, I have to skip the A and I have to like copy paste an A from somewhere else because the fucking key is stuck down. So, you know. DJ Maniac said I can hear the cat growling. Yeah,
she's mad.
She's very upset. One, because we're not paying attention to her, and yep. Two, because the ceiling fan is on.
Yeah.
She does not like that ceiling fan.
It's moving. It's wobbling as it's spinning, and she sees it moving. She doesn't like that.
And she doesn't like it. And the funny thing, too, is that, like I said, after the show, if you turn it off, then she still sits there under it and, like, stares at it, like, suspiciously for, like, a really long time, like, yelling at it. Yeah. Like, because I guess she's, like, waiting for it to come back on.
Yeah. Because
I keep teasing her about, like, maybe there's a ghost up there. Richard Brown said, did you ever see the BBC TV series League of Gentlemen? I did not. Let's see. What else do? Susie said I do the same thing. Like, I'm glad that you guys can hear the cat making noise because I wasn't sure if like the microphone was picking her up because she was way down there by the floor.
American Military 100 says I motivated him to start HRT. That's good. Did you start it already, or you just said I'm gonna do it? Because you haven't started until you started, till you do that fucking shit.
Because Tom, it's like when he gets into something, he'll be like an evangelist about it.
She don't want me talking
He's
about
an evangelist.
It. She does not want me fucking
no, I was thinking,
reviving men from the junkyard.
No, that's not true.
Okay.
That's not true.
Yeah, that's what'll happen to you after 38. You'll slowly go into the junkyard. So you might as well just fucking go ahead and just swallow your pride and start injecting that shit. You'll make a comeback quick. Evan from Ludovico Technique, we saw him last week. He just fucking can't believe it.
Yeah, we hadn't seen him in a while.
Yeah, he's just like, dude, I've never fucking seen you like this. And he's 40-something now. And he goes, man, I work out and I get weaker. And I said, yeah, yeah. He goes, what I'm seeing here is this is impossible without fucking outside fucking assistance, right? And I said, yeah, this is biotech. This is totally impossible. And he goes, I can't believe it. You know, it's impossible.
Danny Rowling said, someone should make a Burbs 2, but with the neighbors being a coven of witches would be cool. You know what? I love the Burbs, and I wish more people had seen it, but yeah, I kind of feel, I'm surprised they never, like, remade it. I'm glad they didn't, but, because it wouldn't have worked. I don't think it would work the same, like, with a different cast or anything like that, because so much of that had to do with Tom Hanks and, like, the other people that were in it. You know what I mean? But they could do, like, a part two. I would probably watch that.
Yeah, HRT is hormone replacement. Yep.
Went down the wrong pipe. Went down the wrong pipe. Goodness. Yeah, Richard Brown said Joe Dante is so good. He really is. I mean, and I feel like that's maybe one of his more underrated movies. You don't really hear that many people talking about it nowadays. The Burbs and The Money Pit are the same movie to me because I've never seen either one through. I like The Money Pit also. That's another one that it's like, maybe... I'm pretty sure we reviewed The Burbs. Didn't we review The Burbs? Mm-hmm. I think we did. I don't think we did Money Pit, though, and I always really liked The Money Pit. It's funny because it was one of those movies that was on cable, like, all the time back then, so I probably saw it, like, a million times. So there's, like, lines from it that are still stuck in my brain, like, even after all this time, which The Burbs has that, too. Like, the whole thing about all where they go in, like, the Klopex house or whatever, and, like, there's all these pictures around, and people are asking, like, who their family members were, and the guy goes, came with the frame. Like, I still remember that. But, like, from The Money Pit, the one thing that I remember is, like, the douchey guy... like, going up to the guy painting the house, and he's just, like, and he's, like, showing him how to paint. Paint, don't tickle. I don't know why I remember that, but you know what I mean? That's one of those things. New cast, mostly older dead. Yeah, that was a long time ago. Yeah, you reviewed The Burbs. I thought we had. But we haven't done Money Pit, though. I mean, it's not a horror movie, but it's, like, a comedy about buying a house and then, like, it slowly draining all of your money away, which, you know, that's what would happen. I would love to see a Halloween 3 Season of the Witch Part 2. I think we were talking about this a while back. You remember that? How we were saying, like, maybe that should be, like, its own kind of, like, franchise? Like, Halloween 3?
Yeah.
There's a lot of potential there. Like, there's in the mythology, you know what I mean? And we kind of talked about this when we talked about Halloween 3, too, because I was kind of like, well... as much as, yeah, everybody, like, liked Michael Myers and it's a slasher thing and whatever the fuck. But I did kind of like John Carpenter's original idea where he's just like, well, we're just going to put out a new movie every year that's, like, just Halloween related, but it doesn't necessarily have to do with the same storyline. So I kind of liked that. But that said, I think that there's more that they could explore, you know what I mean, with Halloween 3. That was, like, a much bigger concept. And you could, like, do something with that. And I'm surprised nobody has, or at least not that I know of.
I'd have made a whole series of movies on that, or a miniseries.
That's what I mean. You totally could. Yeah. I mean, maybe somebody has. It's entirely possible in this day and age because there's so many streaming services and so many people are making movies. And I find out about, like, even movies I loved or books I loved or something like that. Shit, man. Like, sometimes I find out there's an adaptation or somebody made a whole fucking miniseries about it or something and I didn't even know about it. So.
What's up, Polk?
I'm, you know, somebody could have made one. Would we ever consider reviewing the 1989 Tim Burton Batman film?
Yeah.
Yeah, we probably could.
Sure.
Wait, that's right. We haven't done that, have we? We've done other Tim Burton movies. But we've done... I remember liking it. I haven't seen it in a long time.
The second one was good, too.
Like I said, I'm not, like, a big, like, comic book movie person, so it's just kind of, like, it's not usually something I would seek out, but I remember, like, really liking that movie.
I think there were, two in that universe, right? First one and the second one. Right? Well, he didn't do a third one. I don't think. Tim Burton.
I thought he just did the one, but I could be wrong.
He did the second one, too.
Maybe. Well, shit, now I can't
but
remember.
But it is that same... I thought it was that same basic universe, though.
It might have been.
I think.
I lose track because there have been so many, like, different versions and different reboots and... I totally... not as bad as Spider-Man. Like, I totally can't keep track of that, but... Batman... there have been a bunch of Batmans, too.
Yeah, the best one was the one with Batman Begins, and then the other two or three movies with, you know, Heath Ledger and all
well,
that.
Well, that's Chris... wasn't What, the Christopher Nolan ones?
Christopher Nolan ones, yeah, they were good.
Yeah, Tim Burton did too. Okay.
He did too, yeah.
I thought he just did that one. Shows what I know. But like I said, I'm not real big into, like, I like Tim Burton, but I'm not real into, like, comic books.
Tim Burton was going to do a Superman.
Yeah.
But they scrapped it. And it had, what's his name in it? Nicolas Cage was going to play Superman.
Yeah, that's, I even know about that. Like, yeah. that's kind of famous.
I saw photographs of what they were working on. It looked goofy as shit. But I think it might have been okay. It looked goofy. Yeah.
Who was it that directed the much reviled Batman and Robin?
I don't know. That was a piece of shit.
One with like Mr. Freeze. And
yeah,
all
it had Arnold in it. Yeah. It just got more and more ridiculous. But you know, some people have said, well, it was kind of going back to the television series, and in the early 60s, television series was kind of like that.
I kind of feel like, I don't know, I kind of feel like maybe you could get away with that nowadays. Maybe.
No, the script was too fucking flimsy, and it was just fucking crazy.
No, I mean, not that specific movie, but you could get away with, oh, we're doing Batman, but we're doing it like the Adam West series, like we're doing it all campy.
Yeah.
Like, if you said that was your intention from the outset, people would be like, okay, they'd be on board, I feel like.
Wouldn't mind having that on DVD, that series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joel Schumacher, that's who it was. Yeah. Same guy that did Lost Boys and Falling Down, which those two movies were good, so yeah. I don't really know what the fuck happened there. I don't know what the fuck happened there. Nicolas Cage and a robotic spider. Mm-hmm. Mark says the new Interview with the Vampire show has been cool. Yeah, I've heard that that's really good. I'm actually going to do the first episode is available to watch on for free on Shudder. So I'm going to watch it like one of these days. And if it's good, then I think it's on AMC, right? Like, don't you have to have AMC to watch it? I can find it. But I've heard it's good, so I'll go over there and check it out. Let's see. Yeah, see, like, Joel Schumacher did some good shit. He did Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. Yeah, go figure with that nipple armor. I mean, here's the thing about every... And I always kind of think of this, like, when a movie has, like, some really, clearly some poor decisions, like, on the screen. It wasn't, like, one person just made that movie and was like, hey, nipple armor, like that's their fetish or whatever. This is a huge undertaking with like hundreds and hundreds of people involved. You would think that somebody at some point along the way would be like, you know, I kind of feel like that's a dumb idea. You know what I mean? And or maybe more than one person. Like if it was a just world, a lot of people would have just said, no, I think that's a stupid idea. And then it'd be like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't do that. But the fact that you can get that many people to just, like, go along with that, that blows my mind. That blows my mind. I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, why? I mean, even from a practicality standpoint, why would armor have nipples on it anyway? I mean, there's no reason for that. Like, sure, like, if you want to be, like, stuff. Like I said, it's more like a fetishistic thing. Which, if that's what your movie was about, then no one would question it. But it's like, if you're supposed to be a superhero and you're supposed to be fighting crime and shit like that, I kind of feel like nipples on this is just, I don't know. It just seems like really impractical or useless at best. I mean, you know, impractical at worst. Jeffy Art said, to its credit, it did have some homoerotic undertones. Yeah, okay. I don't, so, you know what? I think I maybe... I don't even know if I've seen the whole thing, like, all the way through. Now that I'm... Because, like I said, I'm not really inclined to, like, watch superhero movies anyway. So I may have seen, like, bits and pieces of it on cable over the years, but it's not, like, something that I would actually, like, have sat down and watched and, like, paid attention to. You know what I'm saying? So. No, they're talking about Wild Wild West. I heard that was a shit show also, but I don't think I've seen that all the way through either. Unless I did and I just forgot about it. Jeffy Art said, maybe Schumacher was trying to go for the Roman Centurion look. Maybe. Maybe that's how he justified it to everybody. I'm not really sure.
What are you talking about?
Nipples on the armor.
Well, the Japanese did that in all their comic books.
But see, but that's what I'm saying. I'm just kind of like... from a practicality standpoint, like, why would you even need that? The only reason you would need that is if you were doing, like you said, like a comic book, something that was like fetishistic, like you just wanted it to look cool or look sexy or something like
that. Wanted it to look sexy.
Then yeah, you would put nipples on it. But if you were a real life superhero fighting crime, you wouldn't put nipples on. Like, you wouldn't even think of that.
They wanted it to look like a real muscular people wearing unitards. What they wanted it to look like, that you could see through it.
I mean, it's the same kind of thing that you come across with, you know, your kind of like sword and sorcery kind of stuff, like your Frank Frazetta kind of stuff. Yeah. It's like if you're going to have like a female warrior or something like that, it's like, oh, she's got armor, but it's like a bra and like a fucking, like a little bitty. I'm like, maybe she might want some better armor than that if she's going to be like fighting ogres and shit like that. You're going not going into battle in like a fucking leather bikini or some
Batman,
shit.
Batman's armor and everything in that, and that's just, it had abs on it. Had abs, it had X on it. Okay, it had ribs.
Well, then you could just be like kind of a fat ass underneath, and so you could just like fucking, just slam it on and be like, "Woo, I'm ripped."
Yeah, put the fucking nipples on it too.
Might as well make it
anatomically.
He
had
correct.
A fucking cock on the damn fucking on the fucking on.
Now,
on
see,
pants,
that's
too,
what I'd like. I'm sure there was a porn was version of that like that had that. There was that had like a molded peen on
it.
Yeah,
it was like fucking package and shit. Running around like with his fucking with his there avocado and shit, you know, look like.
See, now that's something that I would say. They should have gone whole hog with that. I mean, if they were gonna go like nipples on the armor, they should have gone
pubic hair on it.
Pubic hair, dick. Yeah, just put the dick on there. Put a little put a little mushroom head on there. That's been fucking hilarious.
A little mushroom head, no man. Put a fucking apple. Put an apple on there. No.
Speaking of which, we start doing sex talk and we get sex bots.
Yeah, the sex bots fucking heard that shit sort of popping in.
You know
we
what?
Got a lot of people in there for
Ben
fucking...
said we they had those crazy cod pieces too. We should do a show just about
cod pieces. That's what I meant, cod
pieces.
Yeah,
we should do a show just about cod pieces because man, back in the day there were some fucking crazy ones. I saw
church
some ones,
is trying to stop them.
I saw some ones back in the day that had like fucking wings on them and all kind of crap.
Church was trying to stop them. They said those cod pieces were getting too fucking big. It's fucking funny when you think about it.
Well, because you know about like back in the day, like in what was it, like the 1700s or whatever it was, when they had those like super big, like elaborate wigs. It's like, look, I have a fucking ship in mine and all this that has goldfish in it or whatever the fuck. And it's like, I don't know if they did that, but like I have seen ones with like ships in them. But yeah, they did kind of like the whole thing with the cod pieces too, where they just got more and more ridiculous.
Yeah.
And like they had like fucking animal heads coming out of there and like fucking bat wings or, you know, eagle wings on them and all that kind
of crap. Women were also using like bodices and fucking and do anything to pop their fucking titties out through the top. And they tried to make their boobs look as big and as fucking scrunched in there as they could. And the only thing you couldn't see was the nipple. They hit
I mean the dresses came like right down to like you could see the top of the areola a little bit.
Yeah, and they must have been doing some gymnastics to twist things around to get so it'd be real fucking full on the top, and then there was no nipple, but it should have been there. Where was it? So it must have been tucked it. Yeah.
I wonder, did they have, like, boob tape back then? Did they, like, because you know how, like, at fashion show, well, nowadays they, like, tape everything in place so it doesn't move around, like, where it's not supposed to.
There was, you know, a misconception that the past was fucking, in the West at least, there's a misconception that the past was prudish, and it wasn't. The medieval era and the Renaissance era was fucking wild. The 1700s was a sexual revolution. People don't realize that. A lot of out of wedlock stuff going on and fucking threesomes and nudity, nudism, lots of that. There was homosexuality and lesbianism. It's just that that wasn't quite out, but it was a lot of it. And this is the Marquis de Sade wrote about it.
Well, he wrote about everything.
Wrote about fucking everything.
Like, seriously, if you thought of something, Marquis de Sade already thought of it and wrote about it in great detail.
I kind of trust the Marquis' writings in a certain way. He explained how he became a sadist. He was going to join the church. He was religious when he was a kid. But then he found out his brother got in there before he did, his older brother, and he found out how corrupt it was. That they were basically just fucking poon hounds, fucking the nuns and the priests and all the orphanages and all everything. The whole thing was just this a den of fucking sexual depravity in France. So he totally rebelled against it. He says, oh, this is all a lie then. And I think he went a little bit crazy. But he got involved in basically the trying to find out the truth. And he said that everything he had been told as a kid was a lie. That people cheated on their fucking spouses. That there were gays and lesbians going on and hiding it. People were having sex with children. That there were just—he just said the place was just kind of filthy. So he just dove right into it. He said, "Fuck it, then I'm gonna do it too, and I'm gonna do worse, you know." And that's where the fucking the side fucking got off on it. He wrote about it, and he eventually he got locked up, and all those writings, you know, basically porn is what he was writing. He's writing it in prison, and he was fucking handing it out, selling it. He had friends of his fucking take his manuscripts and fucking have them printed, and he was making a lot of money in prison, in the Bastille, writing fucking kinky BDSM porn. And the shit is fucking much harder than you would imagine. Much harder. Involving all kinds of cruelty, you know, forcing women to have sex with dudes who had syphilis and then sewing them closed so they would get it 100% and just all kinds of weird shit. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. It's like, the thing about it is that because I know some people like are into kind of like extreme horror and like stuff like that. Like, I'm not super into it, but I read it sometimes. But pretty much anything that people come up with nowadays, it's like super shocking. I'm like, Marquis de Sade probably already wrote about this shit a long time ago.
De Sade wrote about that in the 1700s.
Like I said, nothing new under the sun.
Taking virgin girls and beating them up and fucking putting stinging nettle on them and making them being depraved. And, you know, he was all into the damn submission and bondage and being dominant and dominant submissive stuff. And
did he ever let anybody peg him?
Yeah, I think he did. He did. Because he had a...
That seems like something that he would want to experience, I would think.
He had like a gay manservant who was his boyfriend, and they'd go out and pick up women and do stuff, and he'd be doing stuff to some, and they were mostly hookers that he was dealing with. He'd be doing stuff to him while his servant would be not pegging him, fucking him, basically, you know. So yeah, he was fucking trisexual. He'd try it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that seemed to be like his life's work, he was just going to be the giver and the receiver, like of pretty much everything that he could think of.
And you would think that, you know, when you say the Marquis and he had a manservant and all this kind of shit, you were thinking of a dude in his 40s or 50s. No, he was a teenager when he was doing this. He was a teenager, you know, late teens, early 20s is when he started all this. So he was a kid by our standards doing this. He lived... He lived into old age, but he lost all his money, you know, fucking once the monarchy got overthrown, and you know, during the time of, you know, Napoleon and everything, his money dried up because aristocrats and nobility basically lived on welfare. The king gave them money every month, so they were kind of like welfare. Yeah, they just got money for being a marquis. You know?
Where some king somewhere would give me like a fuck ton.
That's
of
what
money.
They did.
So I could live in the way to which I had become accustomed.
In a monarchy, the poor people aren't on welfare. The fucking royal people are on welfare. They don't make any money. I mean, they don't do anything. They don't have jobs. They just get free money.
Yeah, they just lay around and be decadent. Eating bonbons and whipping their servants and whatnot. Yeah. American Military 100 said, have you considered doing a main episode on video nasties? I think we did one, but it was a very long time ago. Yeah. That was like one of our earliest shows. I don't know. It might behoove us to do a revisit on that because that's always kind of something I've been really interested in. By the way, if you haven't seen a horror movie called Censor, you might want to see that. I really, really dug it. I don't really like to give recommendations across the board because I know some people are like, I watched that because you said that and it sucked and blah, blah, blah. But I really, really liked Censor. And it's about that time period. Like, it's about a woman that works at the BBFC. You know what I mean? So, but I really like that. And the weird thing about it, too, is that I guess that I kind of feel like this happens with, like, any kind of... you know, BBFC or the MPAA, like in the US, which is kind of the same thing. It's just very arbitrary, like the standards that they apply. You know what I mean? And that was one of the interesting things, because some of the movies that turned up, like on the Video Nasties list, for example, in the UK, you see those now and just like, why the fuck was that on there? I think a lot of times they didn't even really watch them, or like they just thought the title sounded like it should be banned, or they didn't like really watch it because there's nothing in it, you know what I mean? Or nothing, like by today's standards, that would be like nothing. I mean, if you've seen some shit, you see the shit that flies nowadays and nobody bats an eye, but like back then. Sean Wells said, Schindler's List had dancers in tailcoats and thigh highs with top hats and canes. Gotta say it worked. Yeah, I like that that cabaret style of look. And honestly, like in the early, I kind of feel like it was the early to mid-2000s, which is about the mid-2000s. There was a kind of a short-lived goth subculture, the cabaret.
Yeah.
So Dresden Dolls were probably like the main, and I actually really like the Dresden Dolls.
Yeah.
They were probably like the main component, but there were like some other ones as well. Like I have a couple of CDs that were like, compilations of like different bands.
Rasputina touched on some of that, I think.
Yeah, they were more medieval though.
No, Rasputina's more
1800s. Or 1800s, yeah, not
1800s,
medieval.
Like fucking Old West kind of looking. But I think they did. But some of the sounds that they did kind of sounded cabaret. I don't think they did the dress. Then there was, who else did cabaret type shit?
I'm trying to think. It was, shit, man. Jill Tracy was another big one. I like her as well. She kind of did that real, like, kind of cabaret style, like, Kurt Vile type of
but
sound.
Dresden Dolls was real good, if you guys.
I like Dresden Dolls a lot.
They were good, yeah.
And they looked very much like that. They had, like, little derby hats and...
fishnets and...
It was a guy and a girl. Yeah. Like, the guy was a drummer, and she was... she played piano and sang. And he sang, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was, like, their lyrics and shit like that were really good, too. But, like, yeah, they had that, you know, the little garters and all that kind of look to it. They kind of went a different direction. I don't think they're together anymore, because I think Amanda Palmer is like, she did some solo shit, which was actually good. She married Neil Gaiman, matter of fact. They had a kid and everything. Let's see. DJ Maniac said, check your DMs. I watched a fun one last night. Okay, I will later. Richard Brown said, Censor was fantastic. Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one. I loved that movie. I just thought that was one of my favorite horror films that I've seen like in the past 10 years, easily. There was just something about it that like really... I don't know, just the whole look of it, the whole vibe of it. I was really into it. They're talking about sometime in November, like around Thanksgiving, we should review the movie Blood Rage.
Sounds familiar.
It's a Thanksgiving-themed slasher. Mm. I've heard of that. I might have seen it, but I don't really remember. I think last year, because one of you guys sent us Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving movies.
Yeah.
Like, about the killer
so
turkey.
So two or three of them, yeah. They kind of got worse as they went, but I could...
I mean, that third one was kind of surreal.
Yeah. I'd have to see that shit again. There was...
We have them. I said, we have them.
They were fucking bizarre. I will give them that.
Like
they
I said, were. I'm, you know, I'm... Oh, I meant to tell you. I forgot to tell you. There is a Kickstarter for making, guess what? Velocipaster 2.
Okay, yeah.
And it's already got, like, a fuck ton of money.
Does it?
So apparently, like...
Oh, it's a masterpiece.
Apparently, we're not the only ones that loved that movie.
It's a masterpiece, yeah.
I didn't even realize, but I was watching a video the other day, and... What video was I watching? I don't even remember. But somebody that I was watching, maybe it was Voltaire, or maybe I don't remember who it was. But they mentioned, they're like, oh, hey. No, it wasn't. It was, like, this girl that I watched, like, this nerdy girl that, like, reviews movies sometimes. And she's like, oh, hey. They're doing a Velocipaster 2. Like, they have a Kickstarter. Please go and give them money.
I need to see that again.
So, yeah. So, I'm, like, really excited about it. So, yeah, they need to make that. I mean, I hope they don't fuck it up, because the first one was just so good.
Well, what made that so good was the writing, so...
I love Velocipaster.
As long as they got the same writer, they'll be all right.
I love Velocipaster. Well, like I said, that was, like, the one... One of the few instances where they seemingly set out to make a bad movie, but... It's still kind of like, because I kind of feel like, and I've talked about this before, but it's like, it's really, really hard to make an intentionally bad movie, like on purpose, that's still like entertaining. Because it always just comes across as like too try hard. But like, look at this stupid movie that we're making. But this one didn't, because it came across as like really genuine. But also, they were aware that they were making a bad movie, but they were not. But they were still like all in, and they were like,
it wasn't a bad movie.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It kind of came around again. So they got like they got it exactly right, and that's like a really really hard.
It was
balance
a low budget
strike.
Movie,
right?
It was a low budget movie, but it was a great movie.
But they leaned into the low budget.
You're right.
And they were just like,
it was.
You know.
It wasn't a bad movie. It was a good movie. It was a low budget movie done right on steroids, knowing that it's low budget. And it was all just done with writing and fucking the way it was. It's just everything. See VelociPastor. You'll like it.
I think it's free on Tubi, matter of fact. Or it used to be. I mean, it was for a while. I don't know about nowadays.
A lot
it's
of
just,
ideas.
It's so lovable.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I don't understand how you could, like, not love that movie. It's just, it's so lovable. I don't know what else to tell
Especially
you.
Especially if you're our generation.
Yeah, it's just, there's something. Like I said, it was so earnest.
Yeah.
I think that's what I liked about it. It's like they didn't try to be like, oh, wink, wink, or ironic, or, oh, we're making a bad movie. Isn't that funny? They didn't try to be like that. They were just like, came across as very earnest, and I really liked it.
Another one that I liked, it was kind of like that a little bit, was Turbo Kid, which is a French movie. Remember Turbo Kid?
Yeah.
I liked Turbo Kid a lot.
Was that French or Australian? I thought it was French, Australian.
I thought it was Australian. I think it was a French movie that was... All I think American cast or Australian cast. I thought it was French movie though.
It might have been, but yeah, I remember most of the cast was Australian. Yeah. That also might be free on Tubi.
Yeah,
or it was for a while. Yeah, a lot of people have talked about like that. That's one that gets brought up a lot when people talk about like underrated movies.
I don't have it, man. I need that one on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I liked that a lot.
Yeah.
Richard Brown said Saint Maud. I really liked Saint Maud. I did a review of Saint Maud like by myself, but that was like
Ben says
a while
it's
back.
Australian. Well, something
yeah, that's what I thought.
Wanted me to think that it was the French were
yeah,
behind
I was pretty sure
it.
That
wasn't
it was
a
Australian.
French director or a French writer?
Not
or
that
something?
I remember. I thought it was Australian.
Okay.
But yeah, I was pretty sure it was Australian. Maybe you're thinking of another movie.
Okay.
Danny Rowling said Terrifier 2 hyped up You'll Need a Vomit Bag promotion. Yeah, which wasn't needed, but still a great sequel and violent as fuck. And I wouldn't be surprised if other horror movies copy them with the gore. I do want to see that. Like, I'm not... I don't mind some gore. Like I said, usually, like, I like all kind of different horror. I'll watch anything if somebody says it's good. And I like gory shit. Depends on my mood. Usually I like psychological ghost story kind of shit. But I really, really did like the first Terrifier. I just had like a really, really good time with it. And so I kind of want to see the second one too. Because everybody said like it's the bloodiest fucking most violent thing ever. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, it'll take a lot to impress me is what I'm saying. somebody said, wait. Where did I see it? Oh, it's gone now. Oh, Mike said, gore films do nothing for me. Yeah, I mean, like I said, it depends. Sometimes I like that. I don't just like gore for the sake of it, but I don't mind like gore if it's like in there and there's like some other shit going on. Danny Rowling said, Jenny, you said last year you would review Blood Rage this year since you didn't do it last year. Also free on YouTube. Okay, well, I'm going to write that down because otherwise I'll forget.
Checking you on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he checked you.
See, well, because last year we did Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
that's why. Blood Rage might be on Shudder, or it was for a while because I remember seeing it when I scrolled through there, but it might not be on there now because stuff comes and goes. Mackie Mac VR chat, LOL. I jump in the right time when they said molded cock, molded peen. Yeah, we were talking about all the armor or whatever. Art the Clown is the shit, and I don't find clowns scary at all. I think the best thing about Art the Clown is that he doesn't talk. Like, he's kind of like a mime, actually. More than a clown. You know?
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It's just, I found the first one, like, really, really entertaining. So, I'm sure the second one, like, I know that the second one is just, like, getting all the hype because they're like, oh my god, it's, like, the fucking goriest movie, like, ever made. I don't know if people are saying it's the goriest movie ever made, but I'm, like, probably dead alive with, like, a word. But I've heard that it's, like, super gory.
I'm getting in the mood to go out tonight.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right, we'll go.
We're going to shut it down in a bit because you want something to eat before we go?
Yeah.
Want some of that pumpkin?
I mean, it's only 7:24 though.
Yeah,
so
but we have to start getting ready and everything. We leave here. I don't want to be like last time where I'm showing up at like 10:30 and can't find any parking.
Yeah, but that was Halloween.
Right? I don't care. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I'm just saying that that's why we couldn't find.
I want to get there at around 9 something, 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock.
Yeah. American Military 100 said the Spanish horror comedy The Day of the Beast is a good one too. I reviewed that one last Christmas, I want to say. Yeah, I really liked that a lot too. I really liked that a lot too. But I'm pretty sure, I think it was last Christmas I reviewed that, or somewhere around there. Just go and look for my on my Flickers of Fear series. I'm pretty sure that I reviewed that. Daniel Rowling said Terrifier 1 and 2 are funny in a dark way. Yeah, I kind of feel like movies that are like super, super gory like that, they go around, they're not even like gross, they just go around and become funny again. Now, I'm not talking about stuff that's like fucking disturbing, you know what I mean? Like New French Extremity or something like that, which are gory but are also like really disturbing and fucked up, like the situations. But something like Terrifier, that's just meant to be like over the top and like funny. I thought it was supposed to be funny. Do you know what I mean? I found it funny. You know, it should, I don't know. It just it depends on the context. You know what I'm saying? DJ Maniac said the movie I watched last night is the same company that did the distribution for Velocipaster. Oh, okay. Yeah, he sent me a message earlier, but I don't know what the movie is. Yeah, I can't. What? What? Yeah.
What's up?
She's making a little face.
Will you guys finish?
She's making a little face back there. She's making a little face. Aw, baby.
Just like, you guys are boring me.
Yeah. Oh, Pokey.
Getting bored, huh? Okay.
She's like, you guys. Yeah. Let's see.
What's funny is that she'll leave us alone all day.
Well, she sleeps most of the day.
She's sleeping most of the day, yeah.
Well, she's either sleeping or she's, like, jumping on my desk.
Right.
Licking my keyboard so I can't get anything done.
Yeah.
She does that, too. Well, and I was thinking about... I thought it'd be funny if I, like, maybe, like, printed out a little sign on there that said Pookie Parking. Because she jumps up on my desk. I have to move my keyboard, like, off to the side. Because she jumps up on my desk and then, like, she just, like, lays out. Like, on my desk, so I can't really, like, put the keyboard where I would normally put it to type. Because she just, like, lays there and is like, what? I'm just gonna lay here. Sorry. Velocipaster had a company doing its distribution. Yeah, I mean, you know. Danny Rowling said, what are Tom and Jenny's thoughts on that new David Harbour Christmas film coming out that looks like Silent Night, Deadly Night? I haven't seen the trailer for that, but now I'm intrigued. I like Christmas horror movies, and I like David Harbour as well. So, you know. Hugo said, I don't like Terrifier, probably because I don't find clowns scary. I don't either, to be honest with you. But I just liked it because I thought it... I didn't think he was scary. I thought the gore was funny. You know what I mean?
Movies don't scare me at all. None of them do.
I mean, yeah, normally...
They feel uncomfortable or they're kind of gross, but I don't get scared.
Yeah, normally I don't get scared by them. So, in a way, like, it's always kind of, like, epic when that does happen. Like, when something does scare me or give me a nightmare or something like that, I'm like, woo, you did your job. Because it takes a lot, like, to do that. But that's not necessarily, like, always why I watch them. You know what I mean? Like, if something's just gory, that's not going to scare me. And clowns don't scare me. So, I was saying this before because I kind of feel like there was, especially after, you know, It Chapter 1 came out, like with Pennywise and everything, but I feel like it was kind of a trend even before that because of all those urban legends, like about all those people dressing up like clowns and standing around being creepy or whatever. And I kind of feel like there was kind of a moment where, longer than a moment, where everyone was like, ooh, scary clowns and everything like that. I mean, isn't there a word for it? Like, coulrophobia or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just kind of like, I get why some people think clowns are scary. You know what I mean? I get that. Because it's like, yeah, it's a person, but they have makeup on. You can't really, and they look like they're smiling. It's like, yeah, I get that. But I don't know. To me, they're just not that scary. So I kind of feel like any movie that's going to have that as your villain, because I feel like there was a million. There's not as many as was the shark movies. That's for sure. Did somebody do Clown Shark? They must have. They've done shark everything else. I kind of feel like they should have combined clown and shark. But, I don't know. Any movie that has, like, a clown as your antagonist is usually not good. But I did like Terrifier. Oh, the one movie that we did like that was just called Clown. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Yeah, you remember.
Yeah.
I really liked that movie. Called Clown. I think it came out 2014, 15, 16, somewhere around there. Where he puts the clown outfit on, like, to entertain at his son's birthday party or whatever.
Can't get it off.
And then he can't get it off because it's not actually a clown costume. It's, like, the skin of, like, a clown demon.
Clown with a W and
an
A.
Yeah, like, with an umlaut and shit.
Yeah. And it's, and a, like, it's a Nordic fucking
multiple
demonic monster.
Children get eaten.
Yeah.
It's pretty epic. I mean, it's like, I really, really liked that movie.
The clown, the outfit started to stick to him, and then it grew into him, and it started to modify him. It took over. Kind of like the damn, the Venom thing from fucking Spider-Man. It's like that.
Yeah, like, it's at first, it, like, he can't get the...
He couldn't get it off.
The nose off, and he couldn't get the hair off, and he's, like, trying to pull it off.
And he turned into what looked like an evil fucking clown. And
so it was, like, body horror.
It was eating children and shit.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And,
yeah,
like,
it took over.
And, like, then the big, like, there was a big climax that happened, like, in a Chuck E. Cheese or a Chuck E. Cheese-ish restaurant. But, I don't know, yeah, there was something about that one I really liked.
Because it was well-made, it was well-written.
Yeah, and, like, the characters, like, the guy was sympathetic because he wasn't an evil. He was just, like, a schlubby dad who was just trying to do something nice for his kids, and then, he ended up, like, in this horrible situation.
Here's the thing. This, what makes or breaks a movie is not special effects or all this, or the fucking stars or the budget. All the fucking mistakes that the Hollywood fucking system, studio system makes. That's not what makes or breaks a movie. It's the writing. It's the writing and fuck what the script
was. I mean, that's
was.
Your foundation.
Yeah, and if the writing
and your characters.
Yeah, well, that's all part of the writing. Fucking, if that is not done right, you'll never have a movie. You can have a... Velocipastor was made with nothing. The writing was fucking great. That's why that movie stood out. The writing was perfect for what it was they were working with.
And I kind of feel
Clown
like...
Clown was like that, too. The writing was really good.
Because normally I wouldn't like even watch a movie because there's so many that's like, ooh, evil clown. I mean, there's go on Tubi, seriously, and put clown in the search bar. You'll be amazed at how many fucking horror movies come up with that shit. So it's like not normally something I would watch, but we just ended up watching it. I think it was actually on Netflix for a little while. I think we might have seen it on there. But it's like, the writing was good. The characters were good. The guy was sympathetic.
Yeah.
It was like a good story behind it.
And that all goes to fucking writing.
Yeah.
Right. If you don't have a good writer, you don't have anything.
I mean, well, that's kind of your foundation.
You're right, yeah. The script
you
has got to be
have,
tight.
I mean, shit, man, I've seen movies that cost like $200 million to make and had like big actors in them and stuff like that were fine, but I didn't remember them like afterward because it just didn't resonate with me.
And you don't even need a great director. As long as the director sticks to a great script, fucking, and he shoots the script, fucking, and the story comes across, then the strip is great. You got a great movie.
Yeah.
You know, but having a good fucking director helps.
Oh yeah,
it helps a lot
because they can steer the ship in a certain direction, and they can give it a certain like aesthetic and a certain look and a certain like you know style.
And then the edit is fucking critical too. You have to have.
I also feel like editing is very underrated.
Yeah. Same thing with fucking sound. You got to have fucking
that too, especially in horror.
Yeah, the score.
Yeah,
the score's
sound.
Good.
Well, sound design and score is like a huge component. I mean, it is in all movies, but I kind of feel like in horror especially. Sound is like really, really, really important.
Yeah. And Velocipastor had a shitty score, but it fucking was great. It was epic because it fit the movie. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah, everything about that, like even though the movie looked like it was made for like about $5.
Yep.
But you got the sense that everybody that worked on it,
they knew what they were doing.
One, they knew what they were doing, and two, this was like a labor of love, like a project that they were all like really passionate about, and I think that really came across. Like I said, that genuineness, that earnestness, it really did come across. They weren't just like making some dumb knockoff. It's like, hey, let's make a stupid movie. You know what I mean? Which I kind of feel like that happens a lot. Especially nowadays, because it's so much easier to get your movie to a wider audience, which, like I said, I think that's a good thing. But you're going to get a lot of, like, shitty product in that thing, too. And it's like, that's why, like, and I hate to, like, keep picking on the people that made Ouija Shark, but that's kind of, like, the difference between, because we watched those, like, right around the same time. That's the big difference between Velocipastor and Ouija Shark. To me, it seemed like Velocipastor, they were just kind of like, one, they came up with it's a great concept.
Yeah.
They were really good at like marketing it. Like the poster's great. Like everything about it's great. It's just like a great script. It was a great idea.
They understood the audience and the culture of the audience because there's all these cultural references if you grew up in our generation. to video games and fucking ninjas and fucking karate and fucking dinosaurs and just crazy shit. But they understood the audience.
It seemed a lot more informed, a lot more culturally informed.
Yeah.
Whereas like something like Ouija Shark, while not a terrible film, but you could tell that they were just like, hey, Ouija boards are big and sharks are big. Let's combine that. Won't that be hilarious? And that was probably as far as they thought about it.
Yeah, it wasn't hilarious.
It wasn't really.
And they had cute girls in there. They knew that would be a draw, but there wasn't a script there to make you care about anything. There was not enough story there to make that work.
Yeah.
That was the difference.
I mean, that concept, you could do something. Well, I believe you can do something with pretty much any concept if you know what you're doing, no matter how dumb it sounds. Yeah. In the right hands, the shit could work.
Yeah, it didn't work in his hands, though.
But if all you have is, like, kind of a slightly funny sounding concept, like, oh, let's make like a ghost shark that is drawn by a Ouija board. Like, yeah, that's kind of funny. You could do something with that, but I kind of feel like that's as far as it went. They're like, hey, that's a funny concept. And then they're like, now just do it. Like, they didn't really think of it like anywhere past that point.
Right.
So it didn't really like work.
Right.
It wasn't as funny as it should have been. I mean, that shit should have been hilarious.
Right. And that goes,
but it wasn't.
That goes back to fucking Turbo Kid. Turbo Kid was very culturally informed. The writing was really good, but the budget was a lot higher than the other two. And you can see it. It's still an enjoyable movie. It's a superhero movie happening in a post-apocalyptic world. So there's all kinds of fucking references, all kinds of tie-ins with, say, like, Mad Max, fucking Fallout, the Fallout video game series. Fucking Adventures in the Forbidden Zone or Metal Storm. Adventures in the Forbidden Zone, I think it was Metal Storm, that's what it was. Because you had fucking, oh, what's his name in it? What was that? Michael Ironside's in it. It's just,
he's good in everything.
Yeah, it's just, there's a lot of good cultural references in Turbo Kid. And it was an upbeat action adventure movie.
Yeah, it was like almost like a throwback 80s type.
Yeah, throwback. Almost kind of like Cherry 2000.
It did remind me of that very strongly.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was,
I kind of think it was better than Cherry 2000 because when we rewatched Cherry 2000 like probably a year or two ago, and I didn't like it as much as I did back then.
Yeah. It was better than Cherry 2000. But remember, Cherry 2000 was not working from a culturally informed space either, because it had not yet become retro.
Right.
So it couldn't refer to itself.
Ooh, you know, that's deep down.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
If you were to remake Cherry 2000, you could do it a lot better now.
Yeah, why hasn't anybody done that?
Yeah, I would have remade that.
Is somebody working on that right now?
There's a lot of good shit in there, in Cherry 2000, that could
could remake that and be, because I like the original Cherry 2000, but it's not, it's a little bit, I mean, it's kind of like drags in places. It's a little bit boring, like, in some places. You could take that concept and, like, do something with that, though.
And it's a love story happening in a fucking futuristic, post-apocalyptic dystopian where guy fucking, his sex bot broke, and he's in a place where you gotta have a contract to date a girl. And so he hires this mercenary chick to go out and go into these forbidden fucking apocalyptic zones to find the fucking warehouse where they can get that ship to fix his sex bot.
Because it's an old one. Yeah. That's a great concept. That's a great concept.
And what was that actress's name that played the,
Oh, shit, man.
The name of his fucking robot, it was a model Cherry 2000 is what it was called. It was a little yuppie chick.
But my brother's punk band was called Cherry 2000 for a time back in the day. In the 90s.
The actress that fucking played, basically, she's kind of like a female Han Solo. She decides that she,
was that Mel, it wasn't Melanie Griffith.
Yes, it was Melanie Griffith.
Oh, okay.
It was a redheaded.
How did I pull that out of my ass?
It was a redheaded, fucking post-apocalyptic Melanie Griffith with the fucking with a 64 Mustang, souped up with dirt tires on it, and a fucking folding stock fucking Mini 14, full auto Mini 14. Was it ACR 556? I think is what the name of it. Which I had one lot like that. It wasn't stainless though. She had that. It was suppressed. She had fucking a dragon fucking missile in there. There was all kinds of shit she had. She's got to fight her way into this damn post-apocalyptic forbidden zone to go get this fucking robot part. And there's fucking cult.
For a sex bot.
For
but he loved
bot.
Her, though.
Yeah.
He loved that bot, and they didn't make that model anymore.
Right.
And she was special to him, so.
He's going along with Melanie Griffith, and he's fucking to try to fucking his... to revive his dream girl, but it turns out fucking Melanie Griffith's the dream girl all along.
Sure.
You know, he didn't see it, though. You know, it's just funny, you know.
Which was a very common theme in, like, movies back then.
Yeah.
Like, guy hooks up with, like, some girl who initially seems kind of, like, rough and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, looking for this other chick. Like, I'm going to hire this one chick to help me look for this, like, hot chick that I really like. But he's like, oh, I guess I like this girl.
Yeah, I think that is eventually resolved because they leave Cherry behind.
Yeah.
Because she overweighed the airplane. And he goes, Cherry, go get me a Coke. And she goes, okay, and runs off. And they fucking leave the airplane.
Richard Brown says, New Cherry 2000 with Dakota Johnson. Now, are they really making that? Or is that just your dream
That's
casting?
That's his fantasy.
Because actually, she would probably be a good Cherry 2000, I kind of feel like.
Melanie Griffith was great in that movie. She was real good at it.
Yeah.
She played a... she looked cute. She looked rough. But she still kind of had a fucking kind of a punk rock look to her. You know, she was still attractive.
And she had a little bit of a punk rock attitude,
too,
which
she was kind of a tomboy.
I always kind of liked that.
Running around. She was kind of like... it's kind of like Boy and His Dog. Don Johnson.
Yeah, that's
a
very similar...
female version of Boy and His Dog.
Yeah, that's
real close.
Similar. Pacific Heights, Danny Rowling brought that up. We should probably review that movie, too, because I really like that movie. And I keep, like, people keep bringing it up, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, we need to rewatch that, because I really like that. Because that's a really... I loved all those fucking thrill... I've been wanting to do single white female for a long time, but I put it in the poll a couple times, but it never wins. You know what I mean? Which is kind of a bummer, because, shit, man, not often you get to see a dude killed with a high-heeled shoe. You know what I'm saying? I'm into it. Danny Rowling said Michael Ironside is doing Hallmark movies now. Is he really?
No shit.
Like, wait.
Poor Michael Ironside.
I mean, it's work. You can't, like, shit on him too much.
He's trying to work.
I mean, how many movies do Hallmark make?
Probably a shit ton of them.
Because it seems like there's always a new one.
Yeah.
Especially around Christmas. They make, like, a fuck ton of Christmas movies. I don't know if they make ones for other holidays, too. But it's just... it seems like whenever I watch something on, like, Tubi or Hulu or something that has, like, commercials, like, a lot of times you'll see commercials for the, you know, the Hallmark Christmas movies and the Lifetime Christmas movies. I don't know if they make I don't know if they make movies about other holidays, but... And... ba-da-ba-ba. Let's see. Y'all should review Copycat, too. Yeah, I've been wanting to do that one, too. Because I think I put that one in the poll at least once, maybe twice, and that didn't win either. But that's what, I actually saw that in the theater. That had Sigourney Weaver in it. Sigourney Weaver and Holly Hunter. Wasn't Holly Hunter in that? Yeah, it was like a serial killer movie. That was also good. Also good. And let's see... Danny Rowling said, I guess he's talking about Pacific Heights still. I just got that on DVD and Beverly D'Angelo shows her boobs in that film, Pacific Heights. Oh, yeah, that's right. She was in fucking European Vacation, wasn't she?
I don't remember.
She was the wife in European
Vacation. Oh,
you remember the wife in European Vacation?
Yeah, that's right. I remember.
That's who that is. She was in,
all the movies.
She was in a bunch of stuff, too. But, I mean, that's what I mostly remember her
from. She was in all the Vacation movies, right? Yeah. Or was she only in some?
Wait, was she in the first one?
She was in the first and the second one.
She was in the first one and the second one.
Yeah, okay.
I think.
I know you're talking about Blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she was in just the one that was just called Vacation and then the one that was European Vacation.
Yeah.
I remember European Vacation the most because that was like on fucking HBO or Cinemax like all the time. And I probably saw it like 200 times like in the 80s. Richard Brown, Hallmark's A Scanner at Christmas with Michael Ironside. Yeah. I would watch that, not gonna lie. He's gonna be sitting around the Christmas tree, like, blowing people's heads up. Somebody make that movie. Jeffy Art said, it's so obvious that Hallmark movies are produced in Canada. I recognize 80% of the actors from Stargate Issue 1 and The Outer Limits. Yeah, I kind of feel like a lot of movies, particularly ones that are supposed to be set in New York, they usually film them in Toronto, do they not? Because it's, like, cheaper. I mean, it's cheaper to get, like, the... it's almost impossible to film in New York nowadays because it's like too expensive, and it's like, well, they don't want you, like, you know, getting in the way of all the shit. So Danny Rowling said there's a Thriller 4-pack DVD that comes with Pacific Heights, Copycat, The Crush, and Diabolique, the 90s version. You know, I actually might have to invest in that because those are all good movies. I haven't seen... I just recently did a review on the original Diabolique from the 60s. 60s, right? Yeah. But I'd be interested to, like, rewatch. I think I saw the 90s one, but I don't really remember that much about it. Because that was Sharon Stone, right? And wasn't... was Isabella Gianni in that, I want to say? I'm trying to remember the poster. It's been a while since I've seen that. And The Crush, that was What's-Her-Face that was in Batman and Robin, right? Alicia Silverstone? Wasn't she in The Crush? Always. Hallmark always uses the same exact gazebo. The only reason I know, like I said, the only reason that I know, like, some of these movies, especially, like, the more recent ones, is because of Nick DeRamia's channel. Because he really likes to review, like, lately he's been doing, like, a lot of, well, he did, like, some shitty Tubi horror movies, like, for Halloween, which were, like, really funny. But he also does, like, a lot of, like, shitty Christian movies. But when he's not doing that, he really likes either weird Disney films from the 90s or Lifetime or Hallmark movies that are, like, super cheesy. And so I always liked to watch those. Like, he just, like, picks them apart and they're so funny. Do you like Darren Aronofsky? Yes, I do, very much. Tom actually really, really likes Noah. He hasn't seen a lot of Darren Aronofsky's other movies. Like, he's never seen Requiem for a Dream, and he didn't see Mother, and he didn't see Pi. But I've seen all of those, and I really liked all of them.
Tom and me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would probably like Requiem for a Dream, even though it's depressing as fuck.
Sounds familiar.
Not sure about Pi. I really liked Pi, but a lot of, I mean, that one's kind of like, that was one of his earlier films, so it's, like, really surreal. Not sure if you'd like Mother or not. I really dug it, but...
Who's the director?
Darren Aronofsky.
Oh, Aronofsky.
The guy that did Noah. Yeah.
Yeah, I like Noah a lot.
Yeah. You might like Mother as well. I did a review of it not too long ago, and I was trying to decide. I couldn't decide if you would have liked it or not. It's also kind of like a biblical allegory, but it's, like, batshit insane. You know?
Yeah.
So you might dig it. I'm not really sure. Yeah, Alicia Silverstone and Carrie Elwes. Oh, I forgot Carrie Elwes was in that. Okay. I remembered Alicia Silverstone was in it, but I didn't remember that Carrie Elwes was in it. And The Wrestler. Oh, that's, I forgot about that one. You would probably really like that one. Mickey Rourke is in that. I saw that in the theater. That's, like, really, really good. Yeah, he's made, like, some kick-ass movies now that I'm thinking about it. I think you'd really like The Wrestler. It's, like, that's also kind of sad, but it's also, like, a really good movie. All right. Well, you look like you're...
Yeah, it's about time.
Oh, and Black Swan, yeah. I still haven't done Black Swan.
We have that. We own that.
I do. I bought it.
Yeah. That was Aronofsky?
Yeah.
Okay. We have it.
I might do that at some point, too, because I really like that movie.
Yeah.
But, all right. So, you want to go out tonight, so...
Yeah, I have to cook for
you're
us.
You're kind of getting...
You have to cook for us.
Antsy.
And then I gotta change. And you have... You
should, well, yeah, you gotta, I gotta change. I guess I don't have time to, like, redo makeup, but I can redo outfit, okay. I guess.
Alright.
I can just put more makeup on top of what I already got. I didn't put this makeup... I only put this makeup on, like, a couple hours before the show, so...
Okay.
It's not that... It's not that grotty. You know what I mean? Alright, so, hopefully you guys have a good evening, this Friday evening, and hopefully you guys have a good day tomorrow. Because tomorrow we're taking the day off. Sunday, we'll be back on 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to be talking about this movie right here, Tombstone. Because we watched that last night. So we're going to be reviewing that on Sunday. So, because Louis sent us that. So come back on Sunday. We will see you guys then. Have a good, safe weekend, you guys. And we'll see you on Sunday. Bye.